of the Fantasy Football Consistency Show. I'm your host, Bob Lung, and welcome to the Asylum Fantasy Sports Network. We're here every night of the week just because Rick Flieger and Rick Briggs said we should have our own network, and we do. All kinds of great people on every night. Monday night, we got Sports Rants with Chris Heel. Tuesday night, we have the Asylum Sports Show with Flieger and Briggs themselves. Wednesday night, we have the Pine Tar Talk with Ben Samuels and Mike Valverde. Of course, I'm here every Thursday at 7. Friday night, Racing Times with Alan and Robin. Saturday night, the Dynasty Dudes, Russell Clay and Nathan Powell will be here with you. And Sunday night is the Mad Scientist with Nick Ficarelli. So that's your Asylum Fantasy Sports Network, and we're here every night of the week on Block Talk Radio. So once again, welcome back. We just finished up week 4 of the fantasy season. So far, hopefully all of you are doing well and you have consistent teams, because you should be because you're listening to the show. But tonight we have two excellent guests on tonight, two of my favorite people. We have Wally Sperlin of Fantasy Sharks, but first up tonight we're going to have Corey Parson of Scout Fantasy. He will be calling in here pretty soon, so we're looking forward to those two guys coming on tonight. But as we head into week 5, we got to take a look back at week 4, and let's talk about the consistency at the quarterback position. I think if anybody would have said, hey, I'll bet you your house that Andy Dalton will be 100% consistent and rank second in overall fantasy points after week 4, I'm pretty sure I would have lost my house. But he is. Actually, right now, he's only 0.4 points behind number one Aaron Rodgers, who's at 104.45. Andy Dalton, 104.05. ranked second, but he's a consistent, perfectly consistent 4-for-4. Aaron Rodgers had his one down week, so he's 3-for-4 for the year, but still up there. But also at 100% is Carson Palmer at 95 points, so he's ranked fourth in total points. 3-for-3, Marcus Mariota, both were off last week, as you know, but they'll be back this week. Tom Brady, not a surprise, doing as well as he has. Marcus Mariota, definitely a big surprise. We'll see if he can continue that, throughout the season. I got to assume no, but you never know. So it'll be interesting to see how that all comes about. Also, kind of rounding out the 3-for-4s or 75% consistency, we have, again, as I mentioned, Aaron Rodgers, third points overall in total points overall, believe it or not, Cam Newton, which may be a surprise to many. Philip Rivers, the seventh, at fifth place, believe it or not, is Tyrod Taylor of Buffalo, but only a 2-for-4 in quality games. So not very consistent, had some big games with his feet, but not as big from a consistency standpoint. And right there with him, eighth in total points, 2-for-4, is Russell Wilson. I think everybody has seen that this year. He's not been as consistent as he used to be. But let's be honest, the Seattle offense hasn't been as consistent as it used to be as well. Some of the bigger names, as I mentioned, Philip Rivers, Matt Ryan, 3-for-4, Eli Manning, 3-for-4, Drew Brees, 2-for-3, and Roethlisberger, 2-for-3, as well as Andrew Luck. But surprisingly, a 3-for-4 and 10th in total points is Blake Bortles for Jacksonville. Not doing too badly there. I think the defense gives up a lot of points, so I think he's usually throwing to kind of keep themselves in the game. So a little bit of a surprise there. And Alex Smith, 13th in total points and also 3-for-4 in quality games. So there's your quarterbacks. Some of the big names you didn't hear, probably Ryan Tannehill, Peyton Manning, 2-for-4, 23rd in total points. I mean, I think that may be the surprise of the season. Matthew Stafford is only 1-for-4. A lot of people kind of was hoping for a comeback for him. But needless to say, it isn't happening. Sam Bradford, I think a lot of people had a lot of faith going with him going into the season. I know my buddy Frank, who's sitting right beside me, and I thought so. That's why we drafted him in our league. But as we were just talking, him and I, we're 1-4, or he's 1-for-4 in quality games. But somehow our team is 4-0. So we're right now writing it off to Antonio Brown and Larry Fitzgerald, who have been carrying our team for a few weeks. So we think Bradford's going to come back and continue to be strong, and our running backs will pick up as well, which is DeMarco Murray, who also had a little bit of a slow start, and Andre Ellington, of course, who got hurt. So right now we're just kind of limping along at the running back position, but I'm assuming we'll keep our position near the top of the thing, and that's all we need to do. All we need to do is make the playoffs. That's all you're really here about anyway. So, so once again, so that's a roundup of the quarterback position. Looking at some as a week-by-week scenarios, one of the things I like to do starting in week four is print off the quality games by week to kind of show who might be trending in the right direction. As I mentioned, Cam Newton and Eli Manning, both 3-for-4 in quality games, but both of them have earned three straight quality games since the first of the year. So after that week down week one, they both have been very consistent. So certainly somebody you maybe look to target. As I mentioned, Alex Smith, 3-for-4 as well. He's earned two straight quality games. So he's been doing well in addition to that. So once again, there's your quarterbacks consistency-wise. Don't forget, you can call in if you have a question. The call-in number is 646-478-4679. You can also come here on Block Talk Radio if you're just listening to it. Get into the chat room. You can ask your questions there as well. And certainly we'll be more than happy to answer your questions. Once again, as I mentioned, Corey Parson will be here around, I think, 7:15-ish. So he'll be coming in to help us out as well. Corey is with Scout Fantasy and also helps out with SiriusXM in the morning with the Roto Experts. You probably have heard him there. And so he'll be coming on as well. So let's move on to the running back position. Sitting at the top at 100%. Now, this is PPR scoring. So basically, if they average about, I think the fantasy factor or quality game factor is just a little bit over 10 points a game. So if they get 10 points a game in a PPR format, they've earned a quality game. Right now, there's only four running backs who are a perfect 4-for-4 in the first 4 weeks. Interesting enough, only one of these guys was drafted in the first round, and that's Jamaal Charles. He's second in total points with 95.7, so he's certainly been doing his job as a number one pick. After that is Mark Ingram, who's third in total points. But interesting enough, though he's third in total points, he's 21 points behind Jamaal Charles, who's second. So big gap there. And I know you're probably all sitting there going, okay, Bob, so who's got the most points? Well, with 103.8, and everybody who is a Devontae Freeman owner knows this, he's in first place with 103.8. So he's at 103.8 in first place. Jamaal Charles is at 95.7 in second place. And third place is 21 points behind at 74.7. And all of those guys have played four games. But interestingly enough, they're that far ahead already. After that, going also 4-for-4 is Carlos Williams for Buffalo. Yes, LeSean McCoy's backup. He's been a perfect. Now, granted, he's only scored 56 points, but he's earning over that 10 to 12 every week. So he's being consistent, and that's what you want out of a guy like that. He's probably playing flex, maybe RB2 for you on a bye week. The other guy that's right there at 4-for-4 in a PPR format, Giovanni Bernard. One of my favorite guys. I have on a lot of teams this year. Got him as my RB3 in most leagues, and he's been filling in well and been very consistent at that position for me. So other 100%ers, Deion Lewis was 3-for-3 before his bye week last week. He's coming back. Le'Veon Bell, of course, is 2-for-2 since he's came into back into the league after his first game as well, or his missed first game, couple games. So also at 100%, but only one game is Andre Ellington. Well, hopefully he'll be back maybe this week, maybe next. They're talking about this week, but it's still very iffy. So I think even if you might have him on your bench, you've been stashing him on your IR, I think I'd wait at least one more week to see if he's really going to play this week or if they're just going to wait. Right now, Chris Johnson and David Johnson aren't doing too bad. So I think they might just let him wait another week and see how they do. So there's your perfect 4-for-4s. Now, Devontae Freeman, as I mentioned, first in total points, 3-for-4 in quality games, started off a little slow this season, that first game of the year. He was sharing carries with Tevin Coleman. But he's obviously on fire, and we'll see if he comes down from this amazing height. Adrian Peterson, 3-for-4, fourth in total points. Matt Forte, fifth in total points, 3-for-4. Danny Woodhead, again, one of my favorites. If you read my book, if you listen to any of these shows, you know that I have a huge man crush on Danny Woodhead, and he's 3-for-4, and he's 6th in total points. So very excited about that as I have him, again, on a lot of my teams. 7th in total points and also 3-for-4, Latavius Murray. David Johnson, the backup for Ellington and now playing quite a bit. He's also 3-for-4, as is Eddie Lacy. And believe it or not, Kyrie Robinson. So interesting enough, while everybody's kind of complaining about New Orleans' offense from a passing standpoint, from a running standpoint, Ingram's 3rd in total points, 4-for-4. Kyrie Robinson's 31st, but 3-for-4 in a PPR format. So both of them are doing fairly well. Kind of rounding out the 67%, so 2-for-3s, whether they were on a bye or missed a game. Chris Ivory, LaShawn McCoy, and DeMarco Murray for 3, either due to injuries or other reasons they didn't play. After that, you're in the 50% range, and some of the guys that have a high total points but are 50% are Joseph Randle, Carlos Hyde, Chris Johnson, Lance Dunbar, Frank Gore, Doug Martin, Jeremy Hill, D'Angelo Williams, of course, in his first 2 games. Theo Riddick, Justin Forsett, Rashad Jennings, Charles Sims, Amir Abdullah, Darren Sproles, and so on and so on. Basically, a lot of the guys that people had some high hopes for. I know I had really high hopes for Justin Forsett. He's 23rd in total points, and that's only because he had a big game this past week that got him back up in that top 24 spot. But he's still 2-for-4. Hopefully he's heading in the right direction. I think Baltimore finally decided to use him more. They lost Steve Smith, so now their passing game is not very consistent. And so I can see Justin Forsett being much better and throwing the fact that, hey, guess what? They play the Browns this week. So that's always a bonus. Start him. Yeah, he's starting every one of my leagues. I know that. So Forsett, definitely a good start against the Browns, as well as them playing at home. Not as great. Ryan Matthews, Isaiah Crowell, Shane Vereen, all of them around the 50%. Some of the surprises that aren't above or aren't at 50% or above include Marshawn Lynch, Melvin Gordon, and Lamar Miller. All of those guys were first, second, third round picks. Definitely running back 2 for most of your team. So, obviously they're definitely were high picks. I know, I had a big crush on Lamar Miller. I really thought that Miami offense would be hell on wheels, and they have been just hell. Hopefully the firing of their coach this past week will bring in a changing of the guard and maybe some new offensive strategy, but there's a lot of weapons on that team right now that just aren't being utilized. Miller, Landry's about the only guy that's been worth much of anything other than Rashard Matthews, who kind of came out of nowhere. So there's a lot of, I think, potential there. I'm not sure if it's a buy-low situation, but I think if you can get somebody like Lamar Miller, he may be a good buy-low situation at this point to get off somebody who might be just fed up with him after 4 games. I'm hoping the new quarter or the new coach will come in and help them out. Other than that, I think we've addressed just about every star player. Right now some have been consistent and some have not. Going to the quality games by week, as I mentioned, some people that have been hot with either back-to-back quality games or 3 in a row, Devontae Freeman 1, Adrian Peterson 3 in a row for him, Kyrie Robinson 2 in a row, now 3 out of 4. Chris Johnson, he's had 2 straight. Charles Sims has had 2 straight. Doug Martin had 1 last game as well. So all of those guys have, look like they're picking up and could be decent players to pick up as we go. So, all right. So we're going to move on to the wide receiver position. And sitting at the top, ranked 2nd in total points, because the person who's ranked first is not perfectly consistent so far this season. But at the top of the scenario here, at the top of the list, is Larry Fitzgerald with 103.2 points. So interesting enough, You know, I have him in my one league. My friend actually talked me into drafting him. I wasn't overly excited about it at the time, but we had Antonio Brown, and it was only a 2 wide receiver with a flex. So I thought, why not? Well, like, as I mentioned before, you know, it's been a great ride so far. We're 4-0 in our league, and Fitzgerald and Brown have certainly been the reasons why. But I think that's a big surprise to see him up there. You know, but always said, Carson Palmer plays, he's going to be much better. That offense is much better. So as long as Palmer stays healthy, he should be in for a pretty good year. Whether he ends up ranking 2nd at the end of the year, we'll see. But right now, surprisingly enough, he's ranked 2nd, but it's 4-for-4. Some other surprises at the top of the list. Ranked 6th in total points with 88, and also 4-for-4 in quality games, is Brandon Marshall. And I like Brandon Marshall. I think he was great. He was certainly a great receiver in Chicago, but I think there was a lot of resentment on the fact, not resentment, but a lot of, you know, just really didn't feel comfortable that him going to the Jets with Geno Smith at quarterback was going to be a big thing for him. Eric Decker did decently last year, but Geno Smith wasn't that great of a quarterback. Well, good luck or not good luck, Geno Smith gets punched in the face, as he should have. And now Ryan Fitzpatrick, who's a very solid quarterback, not great, not fantastic, but not terrible, but he's a solid quarterback. He's a smart quarterback. And all of a sudden, the Jets are winning football games. They got a great running game in Chris Ivory. And Brandon Marshall has benefited from that. And he's 4-for-4 in quality games, 6 in total points. Some names we expect to be there near the top of the list in a perfect 4-for-4, Demaryius Thomas and A.J. Green. Now, A.J. Green had a down year last year. I think a lot of people didn't have the faith that he could come back, but he's come back strong. And he had a huge game last week. But again, it's been a perfect 4-for-4 in quality games. The rest of the guys at 4-for-4 in quality games are not the guys you drafted in the first 2 rounds. Travis Benjamin, Dante Moncrief, Allen Hurns, not Allen Robinson, Allen Hurns, Jarvis Landry, and Pierre Garçon are a perfect 4-for-4. Those are some names that most of us drafted probably as our wide receiver 2 at best, and probably 3, maybe 4. In fact, Travis Benjamin, I picked up in a number of leagues after week 2, who he was just still sitting out there. But the Browns love him. They're throwing into him a lot. They're targeting him a lot and in a PPR format. Also at 100% at 3-for-3, Julian Edelman and Eric Decker. So they've both certainly have been very solid. So that's your perfect so far. So we're going to move on to the guys that are 3 out of 4. So as we move forward, again, still waiting for Mr. Parson to call in. Hopefully he's out there, and he'll be calling in soon. So as I mentioned, the 3 out of 4 spots, Julio Jones, 1st in total points, and is also at 3-for-4 in quality games. Antonio Brown, 3-for-4. Both of them had their first non-quality game in a long time. That was Antonio Brown's first non-quality game in the last 35. So he was actually 35-for-35 until that week. That's his first miss in over 2-plus years into his 3rd year. Randall Cobb, 3-for-4, 8th in total points. Keenan Allen, 5th in total points and 3-for-4 in quality games. So certainly has been doing well. Again, kind of like A.J. Green, kind of expected a little bit of a comeback after last year's down season, but has come back strong and has been the favorite target of Phillip Rivers, as we expected. DeAndre Hopkins, 4th in total points, 3-for-4 in quality games. I really was not high on DeAndre Hopkins at all. I really thought that with either Brian Hoyer or Ryan Mallett throwing to him and really nobody on the other side to keep the defense from double-teaming, we wouldn't see Hopkins get a lot of numbers, good numbers. But their defense is so bad, and they're always playing from behind in garbage, that Hopkins has been a big benefit of this. So whether that continues, we'll see. but they've always been playing from behind. Some other surprises at 3-for-4 in quality games, James Jones, who kind of came in and filled in when Jordy Nelson went down. He's been just awesome for teams. Emmanuel Sanders, Amari Cooper, as I mentioned, Rishard Matthews from Miami, Allen Robinson of Jacksonville, Calvin Johnson, Jordan Matthews, T.Y. Hilton, and believe it or not, Ted Ginn. So all kinds of people getting 3-for-4 so far and looking pretty good. Some surprises that are not in that 75% or higher range at this point are Jeremy Maclin, Odell Beckham Jr., Vincent Jackson, after that, Brandon Cooks, 2-for-4. All these guys are 2-for-4. So all of them, you know, were higher draft picks and certainly haven't done that well. Mike Evans, only 1-for-3. So that is a surprise there. Trying to see if there's anybody else who might have been drafted higher. Roddy White, I think, has been a big disappointment. And I can understand his frustration. He's been blocking, and Hankerson has been getting thrown the ball a lot more. We'll see if he gets it gets thrown to a little bit more this week. Maybe worth, if you still have him on your bench, maybe worth starting. So, it'd be nice to see him come on there. So, it'd be a good idea to start him this week. So, anyway, as I mentioned, that's your wide receivers for the week, and let's head towards tight ends. So, as you know, of course, Rob Gronkowski was off last week, so that puts him, believe it or not, he's still first in total points and still has an 8-point lead, even though he didn't play an entire game. So teams, guys that have played all four games are still 8 points behind you. If you dominated enough. Tied it with 4-for-4. There's four of them. Travis Kelce, Jason Witten, Charles Clay, and Jordan Reed. Kelce and Witten, I think many of us, I mean, I know I'm a huge Witten fan, as you guys know. So I drafted Witten in a lot of leagues. So I expected that consistency from him, especially with Brandon Weeden filling in for the next 8 weeks. Witten is a favorite amongst him because he doesn't have Dez Bryant either. So right now, Witten certainly is the beneficiary of that, and not that I drafted him because of that, but it's certainly been paying off. As I mentioned, Travis Kelce certainly getting a lot of looks in Kansas City, as we expected. I think the surprises here, Charles Clay in Buffalo, left Miami. Miami gave up on him and signed Jordan Cameron. And Jordan Cameron is 22nd in total points and 2-for-2 in quality games, so that's been a little bit disappointing for Jordan Cameron fans, but Charles Clay has filled in well in Buffalo and, has been great, been a favorite of Tyrod Taylor. Jordan Reed has been a favorite of Kirk Cousins and, is looking good. 5th in total points, 4-for-4 in quality games. As I mentioned, Gronkowski is 3-for-3. Ladarius Green maybe is finally coming into his own. Interesting enough, Antonio Gates is back this week, cause we're in week 5. So his 4-game suspension is up. So we'll see how Green and Gates compete. Gates was getting the ball all the time last year and certainly a favorite of Phillip Rivers. We'll see how that continues and see how that works out for Ladarius Green and Antonio Gates owners this week. At 3-for-4, Tyler Eifert, 6th in total points. Martellus Bennett, 7th in total points. Both were solid picks. I wasn't a big Eifert fan heading into the season, but he certainly has earned his keep and has looked like the tight end that a lot of people thought he would be. I drafted mostly either Witten or Bennett, and both of them have done well for me. Another guy that's also 3-for-4 in quality games and it certainly has broken out of his shell from the year before is Eric Ebron for the Detroit Lions. He's 3-for-4. After that, surprisingly, Greg Olsen, 8th in total points, but 2-for-4 in quality games. Jimmy Graham, 10th in total points, 2-for-4 in quality games. So, that's what I was expecting, that he would be kind of inconsistent, that he'd have his good games and his bad games depending on Seattle's scenario. A lot of people I know jumped on him in the second round, but as I mentioned, I was all over Jason Witten long before that, or long after that. Some surprises that haven't done as well are guys like Owen Daniels, Richard Rodgers, Kobe Fleener, Jordan Cameron, Dwayne Allen, Vernon Davis, a lot of these guys. Josh Hill, I know a lot of people were jumping on the Josh Hill bandwagon because he was going to replace Jimmy Graham in New Orleans. That hasn't worked out as well either. Had to get a little water there. Thank you. So as I mentioned, I think maybe Corey either forgot about me or might have got tied up. So I'm trying to contact Wally Sperlin to get him on a little earlier. And I sent him an email, kind of waiting for him to hopefully get on here a little quicker than normal so that we can talk fantasy football with Wally and everybody, you guys talk with him at the Fantasy Sharks. So as I mentioned, this week as we head into five, we obviously have a few buys. We have a few buys this week. We have the Carolina Panthers are off. We have Miami off, Minnesota off, the Jets are off. So there's your bye weeks this week, so make sure you pay attention to those. Carolina would be one of your bigger ones, but not a huge week for byes. I mean, I don't think a lot of people are hurt by them. You know, this is not like you have the Packers and the Patriots and all them off. So shouldn't be a too bad of a week for most people. There's probably a few guys you'll have to pick up, but shouldn't be too bad. But as I mentioned, I wanted to go back to quality games by week. Just kind of mention some of the tight ends that have been kind of coming on here. Owen Daniels has two straight quality games, plays the Raiders this week. Raiders have been giving up huge numbers to tight ends. So if you an Owen Daniel owner still, which you may not be, a lot of people may have dropped him by now. He is certainly worth a start. This is Gary Barnage from the Browns certainly turned some heads towards his fantasy perspective. All of a sudden, Josh McCown has a favorite receiver outside of Travis Benjamin. Not that there's anything wrong with that because you can't throw to Travis Benjamin all the time, but certainly has earned two straight quality games and might not be worth another pickup this week. I mean, this week they're playing the Ravens in Baltimore. I got a feeling they're going to be coming after McCown quite a bit. So certainly may be worth throwing him out there if you are in a desperate need, like you have Greg Olsen, and you need to get another tight end out there this week for your bye week. I forgot to go through the quality games by week on the wide receiver side and some of the guys I wanted to highlight. Amari Cooper with three straight. Ted Ginn, I mean, I think here's the one that all of a sudden has been kind of a bonus for anybody who might have him out there. He returns kicks. Now he's catching passes, 3 for 4 in quality games. So certainly keep an eye on him. As I mentioned, Allen Robinson now has three straight, but Allen Hurns has four straight. So not a bad pickup there if you got him. Jeremy Maclin, Ruben Randall, Cecil Shorts, all back-to-back quality games. I know Shorts, I'm pretty sure, is out this week. Another surprise out there is a guy named Willie Snead. Plays for the Saints, and all of a sudden has kind of become a short target. He's kind of like a Julian Edelman for the Saints, where he kind of just is a tough guy, plays them across the middle, makes tough catches, makes those good third down catches as well. So certainly somebody worth picking up out there if you're looking for, again, a bye week wide receiver. So he's certainly somebody out there worth picking up. Because let's be honest, Marquise Colston, I really thought he might kind of get a few more targets thrown his way. But I think his time is done. I think he's kind of like Reggie Wayne, and it's time for him to retire at the end of this year and move on and let somebody else take over. Thought there might be a little bit of gas left in the tank, but it does not appear that there is. So we'll just have to wait and see what happens with him. And, but right now he's certainly not getting too many touches. And as we mentioned before, Brandon Cooks has not been doing as well either. Like I said, surprisingly, I don't know if you've watched any. If you've watched any of the Saint games, I know they were on TV weeknight here this past. I think it was Monday night or Sunday night. But Mark Ingram is catching the ball out of the backfield, and this is not something that a lot of us were expecting, especially with the fact that they signed C.J. Spiller, and as usual, C.J. Spiller is just an injury problem. So we'll just have to kind of wait and see what happens. But Ingram is becoming a fantasy beast out there. Like I said, third in total points in four games. You know, he's ahead of a lot of people that were drafted in the first round between Lacy and LeSean McCoy, DeMarco Murray, you know, a lot, Jeremy Hill. A lot of these guys were much higher picked than Ingram. I really never got a chance to get him in too many leagues, mostly because of the fact that he kind of always fell in that spot where I usually was going to be picking, you know, early third round where I'm probably deciding whether or not I'm going to get my second wide receiver or, you know, somebody like that, and was waiting for guys like Justin Forsett and Lamar Miller, Andre Ellington, those kind of guys. So, you know, I kind of missed on Ingram on most leagues. I have him in a couple keeper leagues that I had from years past where I've had him. And he's certainly been beneficial to me in those leagues, but not on a lot of my teams so far this year. But still looking good out there. Carlos Williams, for many of you know, it doesn't look like he's going to play this week. So it looks like they're down to their third running back in Buffalo with, I think, Anthony Dixon is the guy at this point. So kind of keep an eye on that. If you have a better alternative, I'm not sure that's worth the flyer if you've got a better shot at running back two or flex or wherever you were starting LeSean McCoy or Carlos Williams at. So right now, definitely, you know, keep an eye on that situation, and you may want to stay clear of that. One guy who did come on this past week was Todd Gurley. That continues. He's finally healthy and had a great game this past week and earned his first quality game. So we'll kind of see how that's going to play out for the Rams. There was a lot of hype, obviously, over Gurley, and, you know, it was a big deal, but then he wasn't 100% back. So he kind of got a slow start to his season, but looked good last week. We'll just kind of have to wait and see if that continues for Gurley. Other than that, as I mentioned, Marshawn Lynch missed last week. It looks like he might miss this week. Thomas Rolls, another chance. Rolls did not look good last week. I'm not sure if Rolls didn't look good last week against Detroit there on Monday night, or the offensive line just didn't look that good. But Thomas Rolls had nowhere to run. I mean, I don't think anybody, if they watched that game, could fault Thomas Rolls for not hitting the holes properly or not making the cuts or whatever. He was barely getting out of the backfield before somebody was crushing him at the line of scrimmage. The fact that he even had, I think, 40-some yards was probably a bonus, but that was not a good showing by the Seahawks. Offensively, outside of that one touchdown to Baldwin, which was kind of a fluke play, and, of course, they got screwed – or the Lions got screwed at the end. Again, Seattle pulls off a miracle on Monday night. It's just amazing that referees don't know these rules. Anyway, to continue on, again, I think some disappointments so far this year. The running back position has certainly been C.J. Spiller, or not C.J. Well, C.J. Spiller's one, but C.J. Anderson is what I meant, and also Melvin Gordon. Melvin Gordon only 1-for-4 in quality games. I watched the Browns-Chargers game this past week because I'm a Browns fan, and I love that torture. But, you know, Gordon got the ball occasionally, would run decently, but when, you know, if he didn't get a first down or if they didn't get a good chunk of yardage, by the time they get to third down, they're bringing in Danny Woodhead. And that was a kind of a shootout game between the Browns and the Chargers. Browns scored 27 points and lost, but they certainly was making them work for it. And Danny Woodhead proved why he's out there. 130 yards in total offense, you know, almost had that long touchdown. And, you know, just a game for him. And that's why I love him. He, you know, he works hard. He gets open. He gets kind of lost. His 5 foot eight stature gets kind of lost out there and gets kind of lost in amongst the linebackers and sneaks through the line and he gets his fantasy points. So certainly worth that. But as I mentioned, certainly been a down year for him and the rookies. And that's why when I do this stuff and I write about consistency, that's what I'm writing about. I don't write about the rookies because rookies usually don't prove too much consistency. And I don't care what you did in college. It's very rare for a top player, whether it's quarterback, running back, wide receiver, tight end, whatever the case may be, to jump into the NFL and be that successful and especially be consistent for fantasy owners. But yet every year, fantasy owners jump on the hype bandwagons of these guys, how great they were in college, and whether they played at Alabama or Ohio State or wherever, because they were that good that they should be that great in pros. And it's a much faster game. And, you ask any of those guys, they're going to tell you it's tough to get used to, and people coming at them are faster, bigger, just everything is that much exponentially bigger at the NFL level. And a lot of these guys are figuring that out. Kind of going back, we're waiting for Wally Sperling to kind of get on here in a minute or so. I think Corey must have had something happen, so hopefully everything's well with him. And I'm sure he'll be on again this preseason, but at this point, it looks like he might have either – I don't think he forgot. I have a feeling that Corey had something come up that he just couldn't get out of, and perfectly fine. And that's why it's always good to get a couple guests, and I know Wally's – just email me and said he's going to be on here in a couple minutes and we'll be able to talk to him as well. So again, kind of going back to the quarterbacks, certainly injuries have played their part this year. The folks that drafted Romo, Roethlisberger, those two guys, a lot of people were counting on, and certainly that's hurt them. But I think more importantly is the guys who drafted like Peyton Manning, like me, Drew Brees, like me, because of their consistency. Now, Brees is 2 for 3 because he missed that 1 week due to injury. So he's not horrible, but it's just not the Drew Brees we're used to. And so he had a decent week last week. Again, the offense is still kind of coming together. They lost Jimmy Graham. They're trying to get their offense heading the right direction. They played Dallas, who was a good defense. And they won and they pulled it off, but and Drew Brees got his quality game, but certainly not huge. But Peyton Manning, Denver has been decent. Their running game hasn't been that great, but certainly worthy of that. So I think we got Wally. So Mr. Sperling,
how are you doing? Can you hear me okay?
I can hear you great. Thank you for coming on a little earlier than normal. I think Corey got caught up in something and so he didn't get a chance to get in here, so that's why I was reaching out to you and see if you could come on a few minutes early and we can maybe spend a whole hour together. And but thank you for coming on.
Oh, my pleasure. Always happy to talk some fantasy football, and it's been a while since I had a chance to chat with you, and I'll be honest, it got me out of doing dishes right now, so it's a win-win all the way around.
You can come on, you can just call in on Thursday between 7 and 8:30. If your wife says, honey, can you do the dishes? You just call. You have an open invitation, my friend. I'll just look. When I see your name pop up, I go, Wally was supposed to do dishes. He's calling in because that's his excuse. You can do that any Thursday, my friend, anytime. That's an open invitation right there. Anything to get you out of any kind of in-house chores, that's for sure. So,
exactly.
Wally, tell everybody where they can find you at. I know you're at Fantasy Sharks, but Twitter, all that kind of stuff. So if somebody wants to kind of follow you out there while we're talking, they can certainly do that.
All right. Yeah. As you said, my articles, columns, et cetera, are up at FantasySharks.com. On Twitter, I am at Walton Sperling, WALTONSPURLIN. I'm on Facebook as the same thing, Walton Sperling. Friend me on there. I share and have all my articles up there, and I actually have a Fans of Wally Sperling's Fantasy Football Musings page on Facebook as well. So.
Wow. I haven't reached that level. I'll have to see if that ever happens, get my own fan page. That's pretty impressive, yeah, well, my friend. So, yeah, everybody make sure that if you haven't had a chance to go to Fantasy Sharks, you know, Wally's there. There's a lot of great guys there. Gary mm-hmm. Davenport, if you're in IDP leagues, Wally and Gary do amazing stuff with that. Lots of great statistics and that. So certainly one of my favorite sites out there. And so, Wally, thanks again for coming on. So, Wally, we've gone through week four. As you know, all my stuff's about consistency. So I kind of did a preview of week one through four. And some of these guys that have been consistent are no surprise. Tom Brady, 3 for 3 other than his bye week. Aaron Rodgers, 3 for 4, first place in total points in a standard scoring 4-point passing touchdown. Matt Ryan's up there, 3 for 4. Cam Newton's 3 for 4. But there's some surprises up there, both good and bad, that from a consistency standpoint, and I wanted to get your take on some of these guys. Let's start with one of the quarterbacks who are perfect 4 for 4 in quality games, but more impressively is second in total points, and he's only 0.4 points behind Aaron mm-hmm. Rodgers, and that is one redhead named Andy Dalton. What is going on in Cincinnati? Is this what – I mean, nobody – I don't think Andy Dalton expected this. What is happening in Cincinnati, and why is all of a sudden Dalton becoming the Andy Dalton of what it was, 2012, 2013?
I know. It's one of the more surprising starts for me just because, you know, as you mentioned, obviously being very consistent. But, yeah, 9 touchdowns, only 1 interception. I think we're going to find out a lot this week, though, against Seattle, even though this, you know, isn't your typical – you know, Seahawks defense of the past few years. I mean, it's not quite the old Legion of Boom.
Right.
But I
but
think
it's still
Andy
much
Dalton,
better. I mean, they look good yeah. Monday night.
Yeah, that's it. And I think even though, you know, Andy's going to get to be at home this week, I just can't, you know, and I've got his numbers up in front of me and I'm looking at him, and, you know, and I've watched as much of his play as I can. But, you know, like I said, nobody holds a grudge like fantasy football owners. So I just can't, I'm waiting for bad Andy to show up. You know,
right.
I put that in I got an article going up tomorrow. Is it tomorrow or did it go up in my star? I don't know. I've got 3 or 4 going up, but that's what I mentioned. I just can't, right. You know, and it's because we've seen it where he has strung together 2-3 good games in a row. You know, the 4 is a bit of a surprise. Usually by the 4th game is when, you know, and this, to me, this could be the week where we really find out, you know, I believe other people have mentioned that and some stuff I've heard and read and some other
right.
People I've talked to. Other than, you know, to explain it, I think, you know, it's the running back situation is working out well. I think Gio Bernard's playing like we thought he would 2 years ago, mm-hmm. sort of, you know, he kind of fell off last year. I think we forgot about it. He mixes in well with Hill, you know,
mm-hmm.
You know, Hill got 3 touchdowns last week, but, you know, I think he only had like 9 carries. So
right.
That's kind
yeah.
of something.
He doesn't get the touchdowns. Yeah. We're not even talking about him.
Yep, that's it. That's the thing. Well, Bernard's picked it up. I think Marvin Jones being back is probably something mm-hmm. that's really helped. You know, Sanu did what he does last year, but Marvin Jones just, you know, seems to be able to come up with the big plays. So, and Eifert has
right.
stepped up. You know, is doing what he's
yeah.
doing. Again,
yeah.
though, I think it's going to be interesting to see after this week, if we're talking about Dalton the same way, if he puts together a 5th hot game, because then, you know.
Right. Well, and I'm looking at the schedule. Now, they have a bye week in week 7, but this week is Seattle at home. Next week in week 6 is at Buffalo, and Buffalo's defense has been pretty strong. You got a bye week, but then they go back. And then after the bye week, though, they go into Pittsburgh. So I think if he gets through those 3 games and is remaining consistent, then I think we have something to talk about. Because after that, he's playing Cleveland and Houston and Cleveland again. And
yeah.
so,
Pittsburgh again.
You know, so,
yeah.
San Francisco, you know, we'll have to wait and see. So the other, maybe not big surprise, and in my book, and as I talked in the shows this summer, I kind of had a man crush as my backup quarterback for all my leagues was going to be Carson Palmer. And he is.
Mm-hmm.
And now Carson Palmer is fourth in total points, 4-for-4 in quality games. I literally have benched Peyton Manning in one league and Drew Brees in another to start Palmer the last 2 weeks, and it's paid off pretty well. I don't think I would have in preseason would have said, hey, guess what? By week three and four, I'm going to be benching Manning and Brees and putting Carson Palmer in as my starter. Probably would have been laughed at by most people, but Palmer's looked great. He always was very consistent in the past years when he was healthy, but that was always the if. Now he's healthy. Larry Fitzgerald is benefiting. You know, the team has been playing well, and Ellington will be back this week or next. So, you know, they're getting him back, but that may complicate the backfield a little bit, but you know, that just helps Palmer with more weapons to throw to, and interesting to see. Surprise to you?
It is, and he's also somebody I targeted quite a bit in drafts as my number two. I even had him as the number two behind Eli Manning in a league. Well, needless to say, that took week one to end that experiment. But you touched on a lot of the things I think that make him so appealing. I mean, one, you know, it's when he's healthy, he's got a strong arm, and he's got a perfect complement of receivers. You know, he's got Brown that can really stretch the field.
Right.
You know, he can't really outthrow that kid. And if he does, the kid seems to dive and get it.
He's right. Yeah. No, he makes some amazing catches.
Yeah. And so, you know, he's got that guy to stretch the field. You've got Larry Fitzgerald. I kind of call this team the Back to the Future team. You know, you've got Fitzgerald playing like it's 2008. You got CJ 2K. We can call him that again, playing like it's 2008. But Fitzgerald, what I've liked about that is, he's running all kinds of different routes, at least the as much as I've been able to watch of the Cardinals games. You know, he's not just the slot guy like everybody was saying before the season. Well, they're kind of moving into a Hines Ward role, which, you know, would not be a bad thing because Hines Ward was pretty productive, you know, right up until about his last couple of injured years. So, yeah, so I just think, you know, like you said, Ellington's probably coming back. But, you know, all that really does is it makes Arians a little more comfortable with playing David Johnson less, you know, let Johnson be the return guy. You know, Arians doesn't, you know, he's kind of got the John Fox, doesn't really love rookies. I mean, that kid's been electric, but he's also, you know, had some fumbling issues. So I think that allows Arians, to use Ellington in maybe a third down role. You know, Chris Johnson, I think he's got a chance for another big week this week against the Lions. Cause I just think that, you know, my hometown team here is reeling and suffered so many more injuries, you know, last Monday. They might get DeAndre Levy back. But as far as Palmer, I think Palmer's doing what Palmer does when he's healthy. And, like I said, he can make all the throws. So I was – and it was red zone problems for him last week. I mean, how many field goals did they kick? 5, I think.
Yeah,
I was surprised they lost to the Rams. And that was really the first week, though, that they even – I think they gave up 4 or 5 sacks last week. And they hadn't really done that – you know, so maybe there's some cracks in the offensive line
but the Rams probably have one of the best defensive lines in the league, don't they, when it comes to sacking the quarterback. So if you're going if you're going to have to give up some sacks, that's the team that's probably going to get them.
Yep.
Let's talk bad quarterbacks so far. And one of the guys that I think everybody was hoping for a solid comeback fantasy-wise was Peyton Manning. And he certainly hasn't been the Peyton Manning. I mean, I know we all kind of went, okay, the end of last year, there was talk he might have been injured, but he'll be fine. He's looked good in preseason. He's looked strong. Everybody's happy. They have their weapons. It's not working. Is it the offense? I think it's the offensive line more than it's Peyton Manning, but what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I would concur with you on the offensive line talk. That, you know, it's, I believe, isn't it? They're all – if they're not, I think there's only one remaining lineman from last year, and he's not even playing the position that he played, you know. So, and the rest of the guys are all new. So, yeah, that's definitely one thing. And they, you know, other than Ronnie Hillman busting off that 72-yarder last week, they've been really unable to run the ball, and he just got to the edge. It wasn't some great blocking that did. It wasn't a huge hole he ran through. So, yeah, I think the offensive line is a big problem. I think early on, you know, the offense they were trying to run with Peyton under center, with Peyton rolling out – you know, a lot of people have talked about that ad nauseum, but I think it deserves mention because, you know, I don't think you ask somebody at his age who's run the offenses he had for that many years to suddenly run this. You know, Gary Kubiak is not Chuck Knoll or Bill Belichick. So, you know, I believe they had a little meeting, and he's looked more comfortable, you know, obviously being in the shotgun more. But I think, you know, as much as we wanted to talk about maybe he was injured at the end of last year, and I mean, he was, yeah, I believe it was a quad or something. He couldn't throw.
Right, right, that's what he said.
Yeah, he still doesn't have a lot of zip on the ball. I mean, it's
right.
Yeah, I don't. He's not going to take the top off any defenses. Not with a 60-yard throw.
And he mentioned the fact that he hasn't been able to feel his fingers in, like, what, 2-3 years. So that could be devastating.
that doesn't help for a quarterback either.
Another guy who hasn't been very consistent, he's eighth in total points, so it's not horrible, but his consistency is 2-for-4. So half the games he's been worth it and half the games he hasn't, and that's Russell Wilson. Last year he was 11 out of 16. Look like, you know, then he's getting Jimmy Graham. So everybody is, you know, on their high horse that Wilson, I remember in most leagues, I think I was in, and Wilson was usually coming off after Luck and Rodgers. So, you know, he was drafted really high by a lot of people, but his consistency isn't there. Last game against the Lions, they only scored 13 points. He got a kind of a fluke touchdown to Baldwin. But other than that, he certainly wasn't great. What's happening in Seattle? Again, to me, it looked just like I was talking about with Peyton. It looked like the offensive line wasn't given any time to run nor throw the ball.
Right, that's exactly like what I was going to say. Same problem as with Denver. I mean, he's been sacked 18 times. The Lions got to him 6 times.
Yeah.
You know, it's. And the Lions hadn't exactly been putting a ton of pressure on quarterbacks. You know, we basically have Ziggy Ansah and nothing. I mean, that's really, you know, and we were able to get to him. But yeah, 18 sacks. You know, he hasn't rushed for any touchdowns yet, which was something I believe did he have 8 of them last year or something along those lines?
I mean,
he has run the ball 34 times. But yeah, I still can't figure out why they traded for Jimmy Graham if this is the way they plan to not use him.
Right, right.
You know, and it's,
why would
yeah,
you give up your Pro Bowl center
right,
to get a guy that you're only going to throw to 3 times a game?
Exactly, and a guy who can create mismatches if you let him. You know,
right.
It's frustrating. Yeah, as somebody who was high on Wilson, I thought, you know, this is you finally gave him a receiving weapon. Maybe they're not going to, you know, just be the run the ball, and then they can't even run the ball because of that offensive line. I don't
right. No,
care that
say,
Marshawn Lynch is hurt.
He was making injury so that he doesn't get hurt anymore.
Yeah, that's they're not moving the ball. You know, Rawls had the good first game when he stepped in, but he didn't really do that much against the Lions. Again, not a strong defense. I mean, the Lions put up great fantasy numbers last week because of the turnovers, but as far as a NFL defense, you know, that's a team with a lot of holes, and Seattle couldn't take advantage yet to score what they did. And you know, it just doesn't have any receivers that scare you. You know, I mean, Graham
but
never we
talked
about
that's
that.
That's why when people were like, when we got Jimmy Graham, it was like, okay, at least now we have somebody that can, you can run the ball with Lynch and then do a play action pass, and Graham's got mismatches, and, you know, the other guys can just run deep and clear out the safeties and quarterbacks. But I don't know, maybe we're better at offensive coordinator than they are. So we'll go with that. Let's head towards the running back position. At perfectly consistent, there's only, believe it or not, 4 running backs that are 4-for-4 in quality games, and only one of them was drafted in the first round by fantasy owners, and that was Jamaal Charles. The other 3, believe it or not, this is PPR scoring, Mark Ingram, Carlos Williams, and Giovanni Bernard. That's your only 4 perfect 4-for-4. Now, Deion Lewis is 3-for-3. Le'Veon Bell's 2-for-2 because of the bye weeks and the suspensions. But Jamaal Charles, we all knew. But here's the amazing thing. In first place in total points, and I don't think this will surprise you because he's been huge for 2 straight weeks, and that's Devontae Freeman.
Mm-hmm.
He's got 103.8 in 4 games. Jamaal Charles has 95.7. They're first and second. Third place is Mark Ingram, and he's 21 points behind Charles in third place. That's what blew me away.
Yeah.
I was just stunned that there was that big of a gap between second and third place in fantasy points, and they played the same amount of games. Just blew me away. But Ingram is third in total points. Maybe not a huge surprise. I think the bigger surprise with Ingram is the fact that he's catching passes out of the backfield.
Mm-hmm.
This was never a thing for him. this was why they got C.J. Spiller. And C.J. Spiller, as usual, can't stay healthy. So Mark Ingram decided to start catch passes, and now he's a PPR god. Sadly, I don't have him in too many leagues.
I played a lot of PPR leagues, and he wasn't somebody who in PPR leagues we were really targeting that high because, of Spiller being there. But I think, we'll have to see because, of course, after Spiller, wins the game with an 80-yard catch,
he'll
be more involved. But the thing with Spiller, and you touched on it, the more you involve him, it seems to me the better chance he has of getting hurt again.
Getting hurt, exactly.
Yeah, it's that catch-22 situation, so... Right. Whether or not Ingram will keep up this pace now that Spiller is healthier is going to be interesting to see because he's not really averaging that much. I think he's only averaging like 3.6 yards per carry, but it is the receptions that have really helped him.
Yeah.
And again, though, looking at that team, they could be playing from behind quite a bit, I think, still.
Yeah.
The Saints.
Right.
There could be some garbage time points to be had or easier points for Ingram. But, he's been surprising, especially, as you mentioned, from PPR. But what about Freeman? Holy moly.
Whew. I have Matt Ryan in of my 17 leagues. I bet you I have Matt Ryan as my starting quarterback in 10 teams. Mm. And so when I see points keep running up on the board and I see, 7 for Atlanta, 14 for Atlanta, 21 for Atlanta, and I'm like, oh, sweet Jesus, Matt Ryan must have 3 passing touchdowns. Nope, he's got 0.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, what in the hell are you people doing there? Will you stop handing the ball off in the 10, within the 10, and throw the ball to Julio Jones or Roddy White, for God's sakes?
Exactly. Just throw the ball to Roddy White at all.
Yeah, because Roddy White is not a happy camper right now.
No.
But anyway, I don't know when that stops, but I guess as long as he's getting the touchdowns, he's certainly been huge. And again, it's going to be a question of when does he stop and when does he slow down? I mean, for everybody who drafted him, I'm sure that they're extremely excited about it. But I tell you what, I think if I was a Devontae Freeman owner, which I'm not in any league, I think I would be trading him right now for the highest bidder because I just don't feel like he can maintain those kind of numbers. At the 3-for-4 quality game level, Adrian Peterson, Matt Forte, no surprise there. Eddie Lacy, no surprise there. Some guys who are 3-for-4 and may surprise some people. One that doesn't surprise me because, again, I have him in almost every league as my running back 3 or 4, and that's Danny Woodhead. In my book, in my podcast, I kept reminding people that 2 years ago he was 12th in total points in a PPR format and was, I think, also around top 10 in consistency. So hopefully people who listened and they have him as well, but he's been great for me. I don't know if you, had the same man crush as I did, but, what's your thoughts on Danny Woodhead? And do you think he'll continue?
Oh yeah. I believe he will continue because as you mentioned 2 years ago, he showed that he's capable of doing it and sustaining it, over the course of a season. Again, with him, it's just, his size, the workload he can handle. And then, as with any running back who's going to take it, is the injury factor. But what's great about him, and you can just watch their games. And unfortunately, I probably own Melvin Gordon in more leagues than I do Woodhead. I went the wrong direction, but I do have Woodhead in a few leagues. But the offense just moves better. I mean, I'm not letting a cat out of the bag there. When Woodhead's out there, I mean, they sneak, and he's carried the ball 32 times, which, that's not a huge amount, but he's averaging 4 points, and he's got two goal line scores.
Well, and I saw that in preseason because they did that 2 years ago, that they get down to about the 10-yard line or 8-yard line, and on second down, they'll bring him in, and basically – I think Rivers goes back for a pass, and if he sees the middle of the field open, he just hands a draw off to Woodhead, and he pretty much walks into the end zone because everybody is expecting Woodhead to go off for a pass. And, so everybody's thinking, well, Woodhead's staying in, so he must be going to block. And then they hand a ball off to him, and he just walks into the end zone, and it works.
Right.
So, I watched being a Cleveland guy, and they had the Browns game on here and locally, and I was watching that game, and, like you said, Gordon comes in, has a couple decent runs, 6 yards here, 5 yards there. But then he'll get stopped for a couple runs, and then they bring in Woodhead, and he pops off a 60-yard, you know, screen pass down the middle of the field or little down the middle of the field run, and nobody covers him because they don't see him because he's 5'8". Boom, he's off for a 60-yard, you know, catch and run, and he had another 40-yard catch and run on another play. It's tough, you know, it's tough to keep him in check. And as long as that continues to work for Phillip Rivers is going to say, keep Gordon on the sidelines because I know what I get in Woodhead. It's going to be interesting with Antonio Gates coming back this week on how Ladarius Green becomes part of the, you know, continues to be part of that offense. Because last year when Gates was there, Rivers loves Gates. No question.
Exactly. And a lot of people, you know, it's funny when you mention Woodhead down by the goal line. They're like, well, he's just so small. They shouldn't use him down there. Well, you know what? He's always been small, and he knows how to, you know, he knows how to hit the holes. He knows how to stay behind the blockers. He knows, you know, where to go. He's hard to find. Like you mentioned,
the screen
back
there,
he's hard to find. It's not like he woke up yesterday and had shrunk, you know. You know, Russell Wilson, the way people talk about Russell Wilson, you know, he's not having as good a year, but they're like, well, he's so short, he's going to struggle. It's like, no, he's always been that size, and he doesn't get a lot of passes batted down. Same thing with Woodhead. He's always been this. So, you know, like I said, the big worry is just that he is that small. If somebody, you know, Tony Sarah
right, somebody gets a solid hit on him, could mess him up quite a bit. Let's talk about some big names that have not been doing as well. And interesting enough, the one guy I'm going to kind of highlight is the guy who had 3 rushing touchdowns last week, and that's Jeremy Hill. He's even with that big game, he's got only – he's 20th in total points. He's only 2-for-4 in quality games in a PPR format. And Bernard is 4-for-4 and is 11th in total points. Now, in the book, and in, as I talked all summer and fall, I had said to a lot of people, I'm drafting Bernard, not Hill, because Bernard can be had 2 rounds later. And last year, when they were effective and Cincinnati was doing well, they actually both had the same exact QSR, quality success rate, at around 65%, but yet everybody was drafting Bernard 2 rounds later, and that's going to me because I wasn't drafting him at the end of the first or early second round, and so far it's pretty much playing out the same as last year. Now, Bernard will come back down a little bit and he'll come up a little bit, but at the end of the season, I wouldn't be surprised if they're both at about 70%, and, you know, the people like me who drafted Bernard, I think, are going to be better off because then they got, you know, more than they expected, where Hill, you might, if you're lucky, get what you expected. But right now, you're not getting a first-round person.
No, and I remember the last time we spoke, you had talked about that with Jeremy Hill, because I was pretty high on him just looking at the stats, and you had talked about the consistency and the numbers that he, you know, that he had put up and that you would rather have Bernard. So I went that direction as well. And, yeah, it's funny, just looking at their numbers, it's the touchdowns that are, you know, keeping – Hill Bernard's actually carried the ball 4 more times. Hill averages 3.3 yards per carry, so, you know, there's your plotter almost, you know, and then Gio's averaging 5.5 yards per carry, you know, and that's
Had that one bad game where Hill fumbled twice and they just yanked him and didn't let him play the rest of the game. A lot of people were really panicking, and I knew that they would get him back in. He's too talented not to get in there, but, you know, Marvin Lewis is an old-school guy, and, you know, just like Belichick or just like Coughlin, you make mistakes that could cost you a football game, and you're not going to play, and good for them for doing that, but if you're the owner of that player, that's not good. You're not happy about it. So.
Yeah, that's really a little panicky, but yeah, I think they're good. they're kind of the thunder and lightning, you know, the old I think Tiki Barber had a couple of different thunders.
And I think more teams are doing that. I mean, you know, you look at, like, New England's got Deion Lewis and LeGarrette Blount. And, you know, like you said, with Bengals, obviously. You know, Ingram and C.J. Spiller are supposed to be that for the Saints. You know, they use Darren Sproles as the lightning guy. And then whether it's DeMarco Murray or Ryan Matthews. So, I mean, teams can use this successfully because there's just very few Le'Veon Bells out there anymore, that can play every down, all downs, do everything and be great at it. So, some surprises that on the bad side. And there's two that, you know, and you know me well enough, Wally, that as much as I'll brag about my Giovanni Bernards and Danny Woodheads, I'm also going to also say that I'm not perfect at this game, and nobody is. But I was really high on both Justin Forsett and even more particular was Lamar Miller. Forsett's came back, had a solid week last week. Maybe he's turning things around. Lamar Miller, 0-for-4 in quality games, 43rd in total points. That Dolphins offense is a disaster right now. I know they fired their coach. What is going on in Miami, and why is that offense not clicking like it should?
Yeah, that's the $1 million question, because I think we were all I didn't think they were going to be the greatest show on turf, but it seems like they had the weapons in place.
Right.
You know, it looked like Tannehill was trending up. I don't know that I was there, you know, anyone that believed you could get to an elite level, but I thought it was if you surround him with enough weapons, said the running game was right. It's like nothing is working right now. And I don't get exactly what they're trying. I know for one thing last week, you know, obviously I think we all got a chance to watch that game from London, but you know, Tannehill was taking a beating. So he wasn't getting a lot of time to throw the ball, but yeah, and I know Miller got a little dinged up. I don't know, was it a couple of weeks back where I don't know if he hasn't missed a game yet, but I thought there was some concerns during the week. So I don't know if he's hurt and it's worse than they're letting on, because he doesn't look like the player from last year. I mean, he's not getting a ton of opportunities either. Right.
Yeah. Cause I remember watching him in like the third preseason game and I thought he looked great. It looked like he did the year before. He was catching balls out of the backfield. He was popping off 12, 15 yard runs. And I'm like, you know, so that even excited me more about how much that I was going to be drafting him and had him in a lot of leagues. And then he's just, you know, I literally haven't started him since week two in most leagues because he just hasn't done anything to prove that he's back. Like I said, thank goodness I have guys like Bernard and Woodhead and some of those guys on my bench, because they certainly have saved me in some of my leagues. You know, so I just wondered if you knew something, saw something, heard something different, but you know, it just looks like he's just not running the ball well. And whether, again, it's an offensive line issue, or what the case may be, you know, like I said, hopefully the new coach and new whatever happens in Miami fires them up a little bit and gets them heading in the right direction. You know, this week they're on a bye, so that's probably a good thing. Then they come back with Tennessee and Houston, so some nice, easy defenses. Maybe they can pick it up a little bit and, you know, get back in the swing of things. So, all right, so let's move away from the running backs, so let's talk about our wide receivers. You know, in a PPR format, we've got quite a few at 4-for-4 so far, and most of the time, I mean, you know, any solid wide receiver should be getting a quality game most of the time, just because it's usually about 11 points. So, I mean, that's five catches, 60 yards. You know, that's not a huge game, but that's what you're looking for. You know, as I mentioned before, Antonio Brown was a perfect 32 of 32 the last two seasons. Started off this year perfect 3-for-3. And then last week, with Mike Vick at quarterback, missed his first quality game out of his last 36. Still didn't have a bad game, but, you know.
And he dropped
touchdown
pass. So.
Yeah, right. And like I said, if he doesn't drop that, we're not talking about that. But still the best, and one of the best in the league out there. But now, you know, he's third in total points, 3-for-4. Julio Jones is first in total points. And is also a 3-for-4 because Jones missed his first quality game this year as well. So there's your, you know, couple higher numbered, higher total points, but ranked second in total points and a perfect 4-for-4. So topping our list right now is Larry Fitzgerald. We just talked about him a little bit ago. Just as came out like gangbusters. Only two players right now are over 100 points, and that's Fitzgerald and Julio Jones. I think we talked enough about Fitzgerald. We'll move on, but certainly has been great so far. also a perfect 4-for-4. AJ Green, we talked about a little bit. Demaryius Thomas is still putting up solid numbers regardless of Peyton Manning. But after that, the guys that are also 4-for-4 are quite surprising. And I'll go in probably backwards order. So let's talk about a guy who may not be surprising to be this, but may more surprised of where he plays now, and that's Brandon Marshall. He's 6th in total points, 4-for-4 in quality games. I draft him in a few leagues as my wide receiver 2. Most of them were deeper leagues, 14-team leagues, where by the time it got to my wide receiver 2, Brandon Marshall was about the best choice I had. And I wasn't excited about it, but I'm like, well, hell, he's still Brandon Marshall. But he's been actually quite a surprise. Have you been surprised by his consistency and output so far?
Yeah, to a great extent, because I was worried, first of all, about who was going to throw the ball to him. It looked like it was going to be Geno till, you know, he got popped in the jaw. You know, in steps the Amish rifle. And, you know, he's – what I like about it is it's almost like the same thing that, you know, Marshall had with Cutler, and that's – you're my number one guy by a wide margin. You know, I'm going to throw it to you as much as possible. And, again, if you watched that game last week from London or whatever, you know, Fitzpatrick's – it was almost his career in that game. He started out red hot and then went away for a while and was bouncing the ball and behind everybody and then got it back together. But what was consistent about it is that he kept going to Marshall. And, you know, Brandon Marshall, he's not the kind of receiver that was ever going to blow by you. So as he gets older, if he loses a step, that's fine. I think he does so many other things well, which, you know, use his body to block guys away. He's got a good my ball mentality, you know.
Runs good routes. He's always ran good routes.
You know, he's going to be where he's supposed to be. He had the lateral brain fart when he tried that for whatever reason a couple of weeks ago. But even he admitted that was the worst play in the history of football. And I like him. I like him. I'm going to be honest with you. I like him on Inside the NFL. So it's good to see him do well.
I really like that commercial he does about talking about Rod Smith. You know, they just thought that was a cool commercial to call out a guy that, you know, Rod Smith was like Mr. Consistency. I mean, I didn't track him for a lot of years because it was near the end of his career, but when you talk about a guy that went out every week and just played his heart out, never was about himself, you know, and thought that cool commercial that they do about Rod Smith and Brandon Marshall. So Brandon Marshall, not a big surprise, but a little bit of a surprise. But now I'm going to name these guys off, and you tell me if any of them were drafted, well, maybe a couple of them were drafted, in a standard 12-team league. And it is Dante Moncrief, Alan Hearns, Jarvis Landry, Pierre Garçon, at a perfect 4-for-4 in quality games for the first 4 weeks. Benjamin, I picked up in week 2 in a number of leagues. Moncrief was available in most. Hearns was available most. I did draft Landry in a lot of leagues.
Yeah.
I liked Landry going in. I'd really had a Garçon. It depended on the league, but most of the time he was either really late or not at all. But all of these guys are, I mean, other than maybe Landry, because I liked Landry and I kind of had some love for Landry. Garçon, you know, I don't think anybody expected anybody for Washington to do much from a wide receiver standpoint. If anything, probably, you know, Deshaun Jackson was picked before him. Hearns was kind of an afterthought because Robinson was the pick for Jacksonville for everybody. Moncrief is the fourth receiver that was probably drafted on most leagues for the Colts, and yet he's a perfect 4-for-4, even with Matt Hasselbeck in there. And Travis Benjamin's a Brown. Come on. How many Browns are
right?
I get to talk about a Browns player. This is exciting. But he's looked great. He's been, and if you get bonus points or any points for return yards and touchdowns as your wide receiver, he's even more golden. Anything here that you go, I could see this guy continuing in that realm, or are these all first 4 week flash in the pans and they'll all kind of fall off and we kind of should forget about them?
No, I think there are a couple of guys. I mean, the ones, obviously, that I would be most worried about because we haven't really seen them do it consistently, and they've been in the league a little bit. I mean, Hearns, and maybe Benjamin. I would love Benjamin if they would get Johnny Manziel starting there as well, because the way they were able to work together, because Johnny can, he can prolong the play with his legs.
Right.
And then that gives Benjamin a chance turn it up and go. And then he has the arm to get it to him, where McCown is at an age now where he can't really do it that well with his legs. And he's never had an arm like Manziel. So I'd feel better for Benjamin if Manziel was thrown. But the guys that you kind of mentioned that maybe were drafted, and for me, Garcon, what I was able to do is I do quite a few auction leagues just here local that I've been in. I say quite a few, too. But that seems like a lot for a lot of people that I actually get to go to. And I got him in both of those for like the minimum bid. Because again, you know, fantasy owners hold grudges. And anyone who had owned him before and been let down in the last year or so, and are like, yo, and with the whole quarterback situation. But I'm like, you know, he's proven that he can be a fantasy producer. So if I can get him cheap in an auction or late, which I also did, and so especially PPR drafts. So I know, you know, D-Jax is supposed to be back soon. I know he's kind of doing some individual drills this week. I don't think he'll be back this week. But Garcon's proven he can do it. So I think he could keep it up. And the same thing with Landry. I liked him coming into this year, especially PPR formats.
Right. Yeah, me too.
And, you know, he also does some returning. But Tannehill seems to throw it to him, you know, as consistently as anybody on that team. You know,
right. He's kind of the Brandon Marshall of that team. They're going to throw to him more often than not. And then everybody else kind of comes along for the ride. That Richard Matthews, as the other side guy in Miami, is more of the surprise, I think, than anybody, because, you know, everybody thought, well, it'll be Devontae Parker, it'll be Greg Jennings, it'll be one of these guys, and it isn't. It was Richard Matthews.
Right.
So,
But until I started last week.
But. Yeah. then he dies off. I hate when that happens. Most of the other superstars, Randall Cobb, Jones, you know, those kind of guys, are 3 for 4, you know, Allen Robinson, Jordan Matthews, Calvin Johnson, those kind of guys. A surprise who's earned 3 straight quality games is Ted Ginn. There's a Ted Ginn sighting again. Yeah. 3 straight quality games, now 3 for 4, 33rd in total points, only 0.4 of a point behind T.Y. Hilton. Does this continue? Is this going to continue for Ted Ginn?
Yeah, I think it is, because it's another situation of who else is going to catch the ball. I mean, he's, you know, they have Greg Olsen, obviously, but then after that, Funches, you know, and I'll admit when I'm wrong on people, like Frank Gore this year, but I told a lot of people a lot of times, is don't count on Funches, because he's around the same size as Travis Benjamin to do that, or Kelvin Benjamin, I'm sorry, Kelvin Spangles, don't expect him to put up numbers close to that. He was a tweener tight end wide receiver at Michigan who struggled to get separation. That wasn't going to get better in the pros. So again, to me, who Kotchery, if he comes back, is Philly Brown even still there? But so I think again, another, So there's, you know, Cam's got to throw it to somebody, and right now it's going to be Ginn. And, you know, he was a good receiver in college. He just never got much of a chance in the pros. I'm not saying he's going to be a great one, but you know, now
he's
get
got
his chance.
The speed. And anytime you have speed, you know, if you have the speed to get open, as long as somebody can get you the ball, you can be dangerous. It's just a question of how they use you. You know, like I said, some teams are better at it than others. And some quarterbacks are better at getting the ball to them deep. So as well, we got about 10 minutes left. So let's move quickly over to tight ends. Obviously Gronkowski is still the best. He's still first in total points, even though he had a bye week, which is amazing. And that's by 8 points, actually. He's still up by 8. So we know he's great, and we won't even argue with that. But the other tight ends that are 4 for 4 in quality games, surprisingly enough, Travis Kelce, I don't think anybody argues with. I think everybody had a love for him heading into the season. Jason Witten, now I have a few man crushes, and Jason Witten is always my man crush at tight end. I draft him regardless. I used to draft him when he was one of the first tight ends picked 5 years ago. Now that he's being picked in the 10th round, it's just that much easier. So I have him on almost all of my 17 teams. If I don't, it's probably because I have Martellus Bennett. So Witten is third in total points, 4 for 4. But it's the other two guys at 4 for 4, I think, is more of the surprise. One of them is Charles Clay. who came out of Miami. Basically, Miami let him go so they could get Jordan Cameron. And now he is, you know, fourth in total points fantasy-wise and is a great find for the Buffalo Bills. And the other one is Jordan Reed out of Washington, who's also 4-for-4 and fifth in total points. What do you think about these two guys, and does that continue for both of them to be fairly consistent this year?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, again, I think with Reed, I haven't had a chance yet to check the practice report. I know, I think he's in the concussion protocol, I believe.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, good point. Yeah, good thought.
Yeah, so if there's any you know, thing that's going to slow him down, it would be that. You know, I know they said he was feeling better early in the week, but like I said, I have no idea if he's practiced yet. I, again, hadn't had a chance to check the practice reports yet. But as far as Clay, yeah, that's, you know, he's somebody that I've, you know, I'm in quite a few leagues where you have to draft two tight ends.
Oh, okay.
Because I have Gronkowski, you know, and I knew he had an early bye. I wanted to have another, you know, solid tight end. So I've got three different leagues where I took Gronkowski in the first round, you know, some are expert leagues, whatever. And then I took Clay really late. And he stepped in last week and did great for me. But yeah, I think he's got Taylor's eye. You know, you know, remember Miami, he would line up at fullback every once in a while. I mean, the guy's versatile. He's got, I think, 12 yards of catch.
Well,
and
the same thing you had said about Carolina. Who else are they going to throw the ball to? Sammy Watkins is hurt and hasn't done much of anything anyway. Percy Harvin is inconsistent as all get out. So who else is there to throw to? I mean, somebody's got to catch the ball. It might as well be Charles Clay. So, I don't have him in any leagues, but I applaud those who do. At the 3-for-4 spot, Tyler Eifert, Martellus Bennett, Eric Ebron. I think Eifert and Ebron are both guys that last year struggled early, you know, in their early years here. Both of them are kind of breaking out. You know, I didn't draft any of them because I usually got Bennett or Witten. So, but, you know, again, I was never really – I didn't have any consistency to show to people, say, yeah, I think this is going to be a breakout for them. But a lot of people had faith in them, and good for them. They certainly have earned their worth so far and have stayed pretty consistent. I think the surprising on the bad side has been Greg Olsen. Had that terrible game week one, had basically practically nothing last week, but yet he's 8th in total points, but he's only 2-for-4 in quality games. That's not what Greg Olsen is. Greg Olsen was was one of the Mr. Consistencies at tight end, and hasn't been consistent. So we'll see how they turn things around. I think they're on a bye this week, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah. So hopefully, you know, health will start coming back and they'll be going to, you know, but again, with nobody else at wide receiver to throw the ball to, teams are just kind of quote double teaming Olsen in the middle, not letting him get open because they know that he's one of the few guys that can catch the ball. Jimmy Graham, 10th in total points, but again, 2-for-4, hasn't been very consistent. I think one of my other biggest disappointments, I really had a kind of a slight man crush on Owen Daniels as my backup tight end, thinking, oh, I'll get Witten, and then I was getting Daniels really late, and Daniels would be great because he's with Peyton Manning, and he's 2-for-4 in quality games, and he's ranked 18th. Now, he is playing the Raiders, which every tight end has earned mega points playing against the Raiders, so certainly worth a start this week. But, man, he has not been what we expected at tight end. Of course, Josh Hill was kind of the fan favorite, the hype favorite in New Orleans because he was going to replace Graham. That hasn't worked out. Benjamin Watson, I think, gets the ball thrown to him more than Hill does. Right. So, which, if you're getting beat out by 80-year-old Ben Watson at tight end, you really need to look in the mirror and figure out a different career. I was watching that the other night, and I kept seeing Watson catch a ball. I'm like, Hill, dude, you can't be this bad. We threw Ben Watson out of Cleveland. That's how bad he was. Zach Ertz, 0-for-4 in quality games. Oh. I think, again, there's another guy that a lot of people had a lot of hope for in Philadelphia. That whole offense has been pretty much a disaster so far. They're starting to turn things around, so we'll see if it gets any better. But Ertz is not getting the ball. You know, he's just not going to be in that. I just don't think he's going to be able to contribute to that system. But that's about it at the tight end. As we head to this last 5 minutes, any other guys out there, any other sleeper guys, guys that you've noticed maybe the last couple of weeks that you might want to highlight to folks out there, either from your articles or just thought processes?
Oh, just like, I mean, guys that, well, some of this may just be wishful thinking, but I know a lot of folks are ready or thinking about or want to maybe give up on Amir Abdullah from the Lions, but you know, the kid's going to, he's going to put up his share of good games. It's going to be a rough year for the Lions here. Arizona this week could be kind of tough, but then we get the Bears. We do have Oakland coming up and the playoff times, which is nice. I just kind of look ahead to that. I'm that cocky guy that always assumes I'll make the playoffs. But you might want to look to get Abdullah because I believe it's in week 15 and 16. I know it's only week 5 and I'm talking playoffs,
right.
But you know, 15 and 16, he has New Orleans and San Francisco.
Right.
So those
and
are
if you happen to
nice
go into week 17, they have the Bears.
Yeah. And if you can play, and I, you know, so he's somebody that I'm trying to target, you know, in trades right now. Of course, a lot of people know I live in Detroit. So I also play the homer angle of it. I just kind of want to, get him. You know, speaking of tight ends, it's obviously this is a great week for Owen Daniels. And as far as you mentioned it, but I just always remind people, I remind them in my articles, start whatever tight end is going against the Raiders because, you know, that's going to be a lot of points for you right there. I mean, other guys that I like, I mean, I would love to see Alshon Jeffrey get on the field. Especially with Cutler back, but especially lower, you know, leg injuries on a big receiver like him, that worries me. But, you know, I think he's somebody that, you know, is kind of fallen off the map a little bit here now because, he's limited in practice. But he's somebody also that I'm targeting right now to try to get, even if I got to put him on my bench. And, you know, it's.
Exactly. Now, let me ask you this. I've heard rumors, and I don't know what you've heard, about the, the Bears are kind of basically cleaning house. And there's talk that they're now even talking about possibly trading Matt Forte. Is that something you've heard as well?
I have heard those rumors. I've heard people talk about it. What was he on just the other morning? It might have been Mike and Mike, or is it Dan Patrick show? Okay. I watch him everything in the morning. And he even addressed it, saying, yeah, I've heard that, and people have been writing that. He goes, and people think that I'm looking to get out of town. He's like, I don't want to leave the Bears. He goes, I'm not a guy that would ever just leave my team to go to a team that's winning, you know. He's
right.
Like, and that, you know, I can't control that. I mean, he's going to be, he's 30 years old now.
Right, I was going to say,
I'm not sure,
he's not getting any younger, so if that team's going to clean house and, you know, I mean, I know that they still have Cutler signed for at least another year, but getting younger players in there, you know, whether or draft picks for next year. I know they traded off Jared Allen and some other guys for draft picks.
Right.
And, you know, they're obviously planning for the future, and I don't blame them. I think it'd be interesting if Forte went to a team that could use them. I originally would have said Dallas, but without Romo there, they're going to be just trying to scrape by at this point. But, there's certainly some teams out there that could probably use a good running back like him. It's just a question of what they're going to give up, you know, because I'm assuming Chicago is going to be asking for at least a first round or at worst a second round. And I don't know if teams are going to give that up for a guy at 30 years old.
Right. That would be the thing that you'd wonder what they'd be able to get for him. You know, I'm sure they'll ask for the moon and maybe adjust it. But yeah, then you said like his team, Dallas, can you afford to do it? Now that, you know, I said, I just think they're going to keep heading south.
Now, if Tony Romo comes back in week 8, you know, he's healthy in week 8 and they're still in a playoff hunt, then it may be worth it. But, you know, again, we don't know what's going to happen with Romo. So, all right, well, we're coming down to the last, I think, 60 seconds here, Wally. Thank you again so much for coming on. It's always great to have you. So why don't you tell everybody again where they can find you, and then we'll head on out and go turn on the Indy and who is tonight? Indy and Jacksonville? No, Indy
and the Texans.
Texans.
Going to be
the Arian
and Matt Hasselbeck versus Arian Foster. The matchup we're looking for.
Matt Hasselbeck versus Brian Hoyer is even better.
There it is. Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think Mallett's starting, so there we go. Hoyer though.
Okay.
My work is up at fantasysharks.com. Four articles there weekly. Wally's World on Mondays. Start Bench on Wednesdays. Part of our premium package, an IDP article called The Blitz. on Wednesdays, and then every Friday morning I put up a DraftKings sleeper defenses for that particular week, just some cheap defenses.
Fantastic.
You can get to do that. I am at Walton Sperling. It's at Walton Sperling on Twitter.
All right, man. Thanks again, Wally, for being on, and everybody have a great week, and we'll talk to you again soon. Everybody, good night.
Good night. My pleasure.